This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our praise upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify that none is worthy of worship but Allah Azza wa Jal, and that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I continue to remind myself and you of taqwallah Azza wa Jal. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits in you and I a love for him, a fear of him, a sense of hope in his mercy in this worldly life, and that extends with us into the next. Allahumma ameen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our lives in privacy and our private life of a higher standard of taqwa than what we seek to show and dramatize and speak of to each other publicly. Allahumma ameen. It's a pleasure and honor to join with my dear brothers at Markaz Imam Ahmed, even though it is virtually, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them able to gather together in their numbers. And it's a wonderful thing to hear that our brothers and sisters in Sydney are able to experience a little bit of a normality of life, having come out of lockdown. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yudim alayna wa alaykum hadhihi ni'mah, that this blessing of being able to walk into a masjid, to be able to fulfill your prayers, to be able to hear the adhan and the iqamah, and to be led in a jama'ah that's 27 times the reward. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes our masajid to be busier than they were before COVID, and that our hilaq al-dhikr and hilaq of ilm and the hilaq of our young children memorizing and learning the Qur'an increase manyfold over what it used to be in previous years. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports those who support his deen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us against those who show aggression against the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the path of righteousness. Allahumma ameen. Courage. The topic, inshallah, is courage and the courage that is needed to be real. Subhanallah, we live in a very fake world, a very fake world, a very plastic world, a world where, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes that before the Day of Judgment, يُكَذَّبُ الصَّادِقُ وَيُصَدَّقُ الْكَذُوبُ, that there will come a time of سَنَوَاتٌ خَدَّعَاتٌ, years of deception, years of illusion, where a person who is unworthy of being trusted will be trusted, that their word is untruthful will be taken as truth, and a word of the one who is truthful and the one worthy of trust will not be trusted, and their word will not be taken as a truthful statement. وَتَنْتِقُ الرُّوَيْبِضَ. And this is where, you know, this statement of رُوَيْبِضَ, even to the Sahaba, was almost an unknown word. قَالُوا وَمَا الرُّوَيْبِضَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that will be spoken, that will be spread, that will be shared. He said, أَرَجُلُ التَّافِهِ يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي أَمْرِ الْعَامَّةِ. It's that an insignificant, an immoral, an ignoramus, one who is unknown and unknowing, will be given the platform to speak to the Amma, to everyone will be able to hear their words, and they will represent the words of the majority. And subhanAllah, if there is no better description than the phenomena that we call social media, or what I guess is referred to as, what is it, this marketing, social marketing standards and things like this, somebody can, you know, have not just millions, tens of millions of views for doing a lewd act, for making a lewd statement, and that the only way to get more attention is to go further and to make further, immorality of themselves that is shown to others to try to get a sensationalized response, رويبضة. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, our homes and our families, from the Ruwaybida that's spoken, witnessed, and seen. Allahumma ameen. SubhanAllah, we live in a time where it is a time of that plastic culture, that weakened society, where family bonds are no longer strong, where the young are seeking to consume the old, and the old lack mercy with the young, where we find that everything seems to have been inversed. We're not speaking about the roles that people play in society, but the very intentions that people have has become a thing of the past. And SubhanAllah, you know, as human beings, there is so much fear that at times is put within us as societies, fear within our communities as Muslims of what is to come, what the future holds, where we will be, where our rizq will come from, whether things will get back to normal, whether we'll be able to travel and go to Umrah. And, you know, fear is one of those things that Allah addresses in the Quran, and it requires the opposition of fear, the courage to overcome fear, and the courage to show that which is real and to stand up which that which is haq. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very real person. He was a person who had real problems and presented real solutions. And therefore he became what is referred to us by Allah as al-uswa al-hasana, the highest standard. Innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Your example of conduct, if ethics and morality, is beyond what can be reached by others. It is above that which others can estimate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes a central point in not the understanding of the Quran, but the very practice of the Quran. كان القرآن يمشي بين الناس. He was a manifestation of the Quran that walked amongst us in society. And of the greatest things that we see in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is courage. He was a person who Ali radiallahu anhu, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, أَكَمَا رَوَى الْإِمَامِ الْبُخَارِ وَغَيْرِهِ إِذَا حَمِيَ الْوَطِيءُ. When the battle was fiercest, اِخْتَبَأْنَا فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. We sheltered ourselves, we hid ourselves, we took refuge behind the leadership and the stance of the Prophet ﷺ. In the battle, he was courageous. In his wealth, he was courageous. He was a person whose standard of courage showed a realism in his truthfulness and acceptance of Allah. One of the Bedouins, he came and he said, Oh Muhammad, give me from the wealth that God has bestowed, not your own wealth or the wealth of your forefathers. So the Prophet opens his home and he said, take whatever you want. And the man took everything that belonged to the Prophet ﷺ. And he went back to his people and he said, believe in Muhammad, for he gives in a way that has no fear. He has a certainty and a courage in the one that he believes in will return it to him manyfold. Courage, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated courage in a multifaceted approach. And subhanAllah, for you and I to be real, and we use that word to be real, meaning to be authentic, that what is on the inside and the outside come to a level of equilibrium when cognitive dissonance, you know, this psychological state or where you know on the inside you believe or hold one thing to be true that you don't manifest on the outside. And it could be that on the outside you're so showing something that people appreciate, but on the inside you know it's not you. You know that that is not your true worth. You know that there is a hypocrisy that reigns, and it takes courage. It takes courage, my dear brother, to do good and to do it for the right reasons and to do it without being acknowledged and to do it when others don't see it. It takes courage to do good just for the sake of good. It takes courage to walk away from wrong when nobody will witness it. It takes courage to walk away from that which is haram when it's pleasurable. It takes courage to open your heart to Allah after a mistake and to stand up, brush yourself off after falling and straining. It takes courage. It takes courage to hold yourself to a higher standard when others don't hold you accountable and hold you to it. It takes courage to have that self-assessment and self-cognizance that I must redeem myself, to have an attempt at redemption, to have an attempt at self-reformation. It takes courage, subhanAllah, to be the one who holds themselves to blame when others are not able to say it to them, when others have not seen or know what it is that they are blamed of. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, of his great dua, he would say, Allahumma ij'alni khayran mimma yadhunnun. Oh Allah, make me better than what they think of me. Waghfir li ma la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive me what they don't know of me. Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, ma la ya'lamun, what they don't know of me, Allah. It takes courage, Ya Abdullah, for you and I to hold ourselves to a higher standard each and every day. That we don't just say, I'm good, I'm better today. I go to the masjid, others don't. I provide for my family, others might not give as much as I do. I'm nice to my parent. I'm not the best, but I'm nice to my parent. Subhanallah, look, my cousin isn't as nice as me. My cousin doesn't call as much as me. But your standard is not what others do who are beneath you, but what others do who are above you and what you are able to achieve if you just invest in that courage to be real with yourself. It takes courage to forgive, subhanAllah, to forgive your wife, to forgive your husband for something they said, for something they did, for a mistake your son or daughter or father or mother, a friend, a workmate have done. It takes courage to not believe within yourself the waswas of the shaitan that if you forgive them, they'll do it again and they'll think you're weak. It takes courage to overcome that feeling of insecurity that if I forgive them, they're going to walk all over me. They're going to do it again. It takes courage to be able to stand up for yourself without being vulgar. It takes courage to be able to say no without even having to using the word. It takes courage to be loud and heard with silence and with your dissatisfaction with something that it's shown in your face and your demeanor, fa'arud anhum, and you turn away until they return to that which is appropriate. It takes courage to give, subhanAllah, just that word, give. It takes courage to give when you lack in your own life. It takes courage to give when others expect you to withhold from someone. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, somebody had slandered his precious daughter Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that hadithatul ifk, it's a well-known statement. Somebody slandered Aisha, and Abu Bakr used to have a stipend for that person. He used to pay his bills and look after his family and help him because he was poor. And Abu Bakr made a vow. He said, I'm not going to give him anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, وَلَا يَأْتَلْ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ, don't let those who I have favored with an excess amount of wealth, disposable income, that they don't give to those who they used to give on account of their misdeed. فَعْفُ وَاصْفَحُ, rather forgive and pardon. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, don't you love that Allah will forgive you? Give. Give and forgive. It takes courage to give when others are unworthy, when they wouldn't give you, but you give them. It takes courage to invest in others who would not invest in you. It takes courage to give from your time and your energy and your wealth and your family and your business. It takes courage to give for Allah, لله ولرسوله, and for that which is pleasing to his messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, when others would be unthankful and have proven themselves in the past when they received to be unthankful. It takes courage to share when others hoard. When others hold, have this, وأحضرت الأنفس الشح. Some people, you know, الشح is that you are hoarding and you are stingy to share. It's not just I hoard, but I won't even give charity to the ones who even need more than me. Subhanallah, we saw that with all these COVID people fighting over toilet paper, holding, and I need it. I want it. I'm going to keep it. Subhanallah. To share when others hoard, it takes courage to be able to give to the unknown and to the ghaib where you believe that Allah from above the seven heavens is the one who gave you in the first place. How can I not believe you will return it many more fold? The Prophet ﷺ, he would say, ما نقص مال من صدقة. Wealth is never deprived after giving it in charity. It takes courage to love for Allah and the path of Allah, those who were unlovable to you. SubhanAllah. That hadith, wajabat mahabbati, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says, that Allah says, my love is incumbent for those who love others for my sake. Tahaba min ajli, for the sake of Allah. What does that mean? It means you loving someone who is unlovable. They're not the ones who you would choose to, they're not your father or your mother. They're not the ones who've shown you love in the past. They're unlovable. But because of Allah, I will push myself. And therefore you earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes courage to debate others with hujjah, or to remain silent when you're ignorant and are unsure. It takes courage never to say the word, I think, Rather, it takes courage to say, I know, or I have learned, or I have studied. It takes courage to be quiet when other people expect you to say something, but you are quiet because it is more pleasing to Allah, rather than try to put yourself forward with a tasaddar and put your chest forward when you are unknowing and unsure. It takes courage to succeed. It takes courage, wallahi, to succeed financially, economically. It takes courage to save and to invest. It takes a lot of courage to put your wealth in trade and put your, you know, knowledge into study of what you're going to invest in, what business you want to open. It takes courage to try something new, to go out of your fear, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us from those who seek to demonstrate that courage, to push ourselves forward, to be of those who are courageous in seeking to be real. I wanted to end in the last 5-10 minutes, inshallah, by speaking about the hindrances to courage. Well, what is it that stops us? So psychologists, they identify that there's only 5 categories of fear. There's only 5 things human beings fear as a category. Everything you fear is under them, whether it's flying or insects or, you know, whatever, it's 5 things. The fear of extinction, fear of death. Everybody, you know, Aisha radiallahu anha, she heard the Prophet ﷺ said that a believer looks forward to meeting Allah, the hadith of Imam Muslim. She said, Ya Rasulullah, ala akkarahiyatul maut, aren't we afraid to die? Don't we dislike death? Prophet ﷺ said, yes, Ya Aisha, laysa kadhalik, you've misunderstood. Man sami'a bi ridwanillah al-mu'min, when a believer hears about Allah's pleasure, Allah's forgiveness, Allah's jannah, they look forward to meeting Allah. They don't want to die, but they look forward to meeting Allah. There's fear of death within all of us. It's a natural state. Inna al-mauti la sakarat. There's fear of coming to an end. There's the second fear of mutilation. You don't want anything to hurt you. You don't want illness and health and something to cut you or some injury to your physical being. All of us are fearful of being hurt in that sense. Number three, there's the fear of autonomy, of being able to have liberty and choice. And of course, you know, with all these things that relate to vaccinations and freedoms and choices and mandates, and there's this, you know, it drives people to doing things they normally wouldn't do. The loss of autonomy, the loss of liberty, the loss of freedom, if it is to another equal being, is something we all fear, right? Number four, the loss of separation, the fear of separation. It's an emotional, a psychological fear of being rejected, fear of being abandoned, fear of not being wanted, fear of your peers looking at you for, as somebody who is strange in your family, in your culture, in your tribe, in your community, in your faithfulness. Subhanallah. Then there's finally the fear of our ego's death. All of us fear being humiliated, being shamed, being made publicly ridiculed. The fear of losing ourselves and our ability to defend ourselves. Those 5 fears, all of them are addressed in the lives of the prophets. Every one of the prophets of Allah encountered those 5 fears, and Allah says, قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ, Musa, don't be scared. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً, Musa was scared inside. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ, فَلَا تَخَافَ, you and Harun, don't be scared. Ibrahim, فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِمْ أَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً. He was scared inside. Ibrahim, when the angels came in the form of 3 men on their way to destroy Lut. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came down from the mountain shaking, Zambiruni, Dathiruni, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Fear is natural, but it can be debilitating if you don't overcome it. So Allah, one of the message of the Quran, one of the eternal messages of the Sunnah, is to demonstrate courage and is to overcome the fear, not to overcome danger, because danger and fear, we conflate them. We make them seem that they're the same thing, but they're totally different things. Fear is a construct. Danger is real. You know, crossing the road without looking both ways, that's dangerous. You're afraid. It's not afraid to cross the road. The danger of crossing the road is not looking both ways. But I shouldn't fear making a crossing of the road. And that becomes really important. That you and I, part of our endeavor is to overcome our fear. One of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الجبن. Oh Allah, I ask you to protect me, to remove from me cowardice, fearfulness and cowardice, والبخل, Attached to cowardice is stinginess, tight-fistedness. Why? Because the person who doesn't spend is because, where am I going to get more? How can I be sure I'll have more money tomorrow? How can I be sure I'll have my needs met? They don't have that trust in Allah. They don't want to give in the path of Allah because of the fear of what's coming. And subhanAllah, it becomes important for us to focus on overcoming these fears. I want to speak about the last two fears in particular, the fear of separation and the fear of the ego. Separation is something that happens to us all, and fearing it is natural. But fearing it to a place that makes us choose the haram to belong to a bigger group is sinful. أنت الجماعة وإن كنت وحدك. You and I are the majority, even if we are singular, if that singularity is the truth. Allahu Akbar. This is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بدأ الإسلام غريب. Islam emerges as something distinct. It makes us distinct. People say, whoa, these people are a little bit different in this regard. They're distinct in this regard. They pray five times a day when others don't. They pray when the sun has not risen in the middle of the night when others don't. They fast 30 days in a time, others don't. We're distinct. Their women, you know, our women adorn themselves, beautify themselves with hijab. Others may not. It's a distinction. فَطُوبَ الْغُرَبَاءَ. How beautiful is the state of those who are distinguished? That distinction gives you a higher status in the sight of Allah and also in the hearts and minds of others. And it gives people a sense of respect when they see you adhering to the truth. Because it's a truth to you and that you don't dilute it, it's a sign of honor that you have. The loss of ego, the fear of losing our a death and an ego to our death, the death of our ego, is one of the bigger problems we have as Muslims. Within our communities, privately, within our spouses, how could she say that to me? How could he talk to me that way? You know, if I don't make a big deal out of it, or, you know, sometimes our ego, it gets injured very quickly, and it causes us, because we're afraid of that humiliation, it causes us to act in a way that pushes us further. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَخَذَهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْ. His pride caused him to go further in their sinfulness. SubhanAllah. Sometimes people, they make a mistake, they can collect themselves, they can come back to it, but because of their ego, who told you? What's it to do with you? I can do whatever I want. No, hold on, back up. Slow down. Don't go too far. It takes courage to hold yourself back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us courage in these days of deception, grant us freedom from seeking the pleasure of others at the expense of the acknowledgement and the pleasure of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our love for Allah greater than the love for our dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who own the dunya but not are owned by the dunya and what's in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us and grant us joy and comfort and ease and facility. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your brother Yahya Ibrahim from my home here in Perth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you success. Allahumma ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.